For a town that usually gets all somber and serious in the fall, Hollywood sure is gay this year, as in dealing with gay characters and gay themes. Bob Mondello says there's at least one such movie for every week between now and Christmas.
When the movie version of Broadway's The Producers opens next month, Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick will be searching for a way to guarantee that their new musical Springtime for Hitler becomes a catastrophic flop. The script they've chosen is terrible, so they're pretty sure they have a loser. But just to be on the safe side, they hire a cross-dressing director and encourage him to keep it bright, keep it sassy, keep it gay.
I see a line of beautiful girls dressed as stormtroopers, each one a gem, with leather boots and whips on their hips. It's risque, dare I say, S&M!
Love it!
I see German soldiers dancing through France, played by chorus boys in very tight pants. And
this is Mel Brooks's take on showbiz, a joke writ very large. But the notion that homosexuality is an audience turnoff is a basic truism in Hollywood, so much so that a film opening today in New York and Los Angeles uses it as a starting point. The Dying Gaul is about a gay writer who has turned the story of his lover's death into a haunting screenplay, only to be told by a producer that it will never get made unless he changes the gender of the main character.
Most Americans...
Let's hold all my calls, please, Liz.
Hate gay people. They hear it's about gay people, they won't go.
What about Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is a movie about a man who hates gay people, and it's been done. To get people into the movie theaters, they have to think it's going to be fun, or sensational, or some kind of... make them feel fantastic about themselves. No one goes to the movies to have a bad time, or to learn anything.
That's a reasonable articulation of Hollywood sentiment, but this fall is filled with challenges to those assumptions. The film Capote, for instance, about one of the most flamboyantly gay figures of the 20th century, has opened to critical raves, substantial box office, and much Oscar talk about its star, Philip Seymour Hoffman. A former Batman, Val Kilmer, is playing a gay detective in the comic police thriller Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which has also opened to strong box office in major cities. In coming weeks, the director of The Crying Game will release Breakfast on Pluto, which again places a gay transvestite at the center of the Irish Troubles. Transamerica finds desperate housewife Felicity Huffman playing a character seeking surgery to become a woman, a plan complicated by the fact that years earlier she fathered a son who is now a gay hustler. There are also major lesbian or gay characters in the World War II drama Mrs. Henderson Presents, the family comedy The Family Stone, and the musical Rent, and all of this is mere prologue to a film with so much buzz since it won Best Picture at the Venice Film Festival that some observers think it could be the first film since Philadelphia to break out of the celluloid closet and become a mainstream hit. The contemporary Western, Brokeback Mountain.
Well, since we're going to be working together, I reckon it's time we start drinking together.
Brokeback Mountain boasts a celebrated director, Ang Lee, and a pair of bankable Hollywood hunks, Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger.
You know, it could be like this, just like this, always.
This thing grabs hold of us in the wrong place, and we're dead.
It also has a screenplay crafted by not one, but two Pulitzer Prize winners, and it's an enormously affecting movie, likely to be on short lists of Oscar contenders for Best Picture. Will all of that help it break through to mainstream audiences? Well, that's anyone's guess, but one thing Brokeback Mountain has going for it that Philadelphia did not when it earned more than $200 million at the box office 12 years ago is all the other films around it. Hollywood's treatment of gay and lesbian characters has been following a pattern as old as entertainment itself. Minority figures are almost always marginalized at first, stereotyped as threatening and alien. Then, once audiences get more familiar with a minority, these stereotypes become comic. And then, as a corrective to those earlier indignities, a minority's characters are allowed to suffer nobly and to argue for their own humanity. Examples of all these approaches to gay characters will be in multiplexes this fall, and not just in pictures aimed at gay audiences. The makers of the animated film Chicken Little, for instance, are certainly not dealing with sexual topics or sexualized characters, but they do have to deal with the stereotypes that are floating around. So to feminize their tomboyish, home-run-hitting baseball player, Foxy Loxy, in the final reel, they put her in a frilly dress and treat her as girlfriend material for a boy pig who has previously been established as a disco-loving Barbara Streisand fan. Presumably parents will get the subtext, even as it sails over the heads of kids who've grown up with Will and Grace as background noise. I'm Bob Mondello.